We are back and we are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. He is our attorney, our lawyer, our barrister extraordinaire. And Jeff, we were talking a little bit off the air, and I noticed it last night because I saw a clip of Biden and his running mate, Kamala Harris. Am I saying it wrong? I still don't know. I could say Yannick Ngakoue better than I can Kamala's first name, because everybody says it different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you say it? Kamala or Kamala?
I usually say Kamala.
All right.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
All right. Anyway, they're talking about now, finally, they've realized there's a lot of unrest in the country and there's a lot of bad things happening. And, well, it's just amazing. Nothing mentioned at the DNC about the violence in Portland or Seattle or here in Minneapolis or Chicago or anywhere. But suddenly now they're on that bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Yeah, it was peaceful protests and everything at the DNC. And then the Republicans framed their entire convention largely on law and order, and have essentially shifted the race. You know, Joe Biden has been doing very well as long as he stayed in his basement and didn't have any mistakes and kept this election as a referendum on Donald Trump. And there, you know, a lot of their convention was that Joe Biden is a nice man, contrasting it with he doesn't, you know, tweet, you know, mean things or say mean things. He's nice to people, right? And they had a bunch of Republicans, you know, that went up there and kind of confirmed that. Well, the Republicans actually described their platform and issues, and it appears to have worked. And there was an interview, I think it was Don Lemon on CNN, that was concerned about the Democrats not saying anything about the riots because, as he said, it's showing up in the polling. So obviously this is now resonating with voters, particularly probably in the suburbs, who are feeling a little bit afraid that this garbage is going to move out to their areas. And so now they're speaking up, but they have an interesting spin on it. It's no longer peaceful protests, but it's all Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah, it's his fault in Democratic cities and Democratic states. That makes sense.
Yep.
When he's offered to send the National Guard and send help in, although the National Guard should be done, the states can do that themselves, but he has offered to send in help because there are federal buildings and federal facilities in these cities.
Right. But if a governor requests the president to deploy the guard, that they can do more than just defend federal buildings unless they have permission to be there. And that's just how it happened in Kenosha, is Governor Evers did accept the assistance, and that's why you had Kenosha after those first couple of nights. Evers had a marginal sized force the first night, which is what led to the why it was ineffective. But it was when they brought in the additional troops is when it calmed down.
Now, Kenosha, isn't that the place where a 17-year-old kid shot a black man in the back? According to Joe Biden.
According to Joe Biden, yeah, that was
he really
that was
said
surreal.
This,
I was
really said
it
that.
Was on. He was being interviewed by Anderson Cooper on CNN, and Anderson Cooper asked him about Jacob Blake. Jacob Blake is, of course, the individual who was shot 7 times in the back by the Kenosha police officer, which we're now finding out the story that Blake's attorney told about why he was there in the first place isn't exactly the case. You know, he said he was there to break up a fight between two women. He was actually there because his ex-girlfriend called the cops because he had sexually assaulted her, and it was going to her car and he had a knife. And so that story is breaking down as to the reasons for those riots. But anyway, Joe Biden mashed up in an interview with Anderson Cooper that situation with the officer shooting Jacob Blake with Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old that was out on patrol, you know, with the private security that night, the militia, whatever you want to call them, and who had shot a rioter. And he's claiming self-defense. There's a lot more to it. But bottom line is Joe Biden combined the two stories into one in his mind and had a 17-year-old kid shooting Jacob Blake in the back with an AR-15, because his entire interview is a rant about AR-15s again.
How is that even possible to mash those two together? It's stunning to me.
If you're dealing with some kind of cognitive issue, it's probably not that hard.
That was my point. That someone who's thinking clearly would not put those two together. Obviously, he's starting to talk more. We see him now, but without a teleprompter, which he won't have in a debate, it's going to be real interesting. Unless they somehow figure out a way or get the Republicans to agree that they're at separate sites so he can have a teleprompter with somebody furiously typing out his responses.
I think if anything, why the RNC is a victory for Donald Trump is Biden is now announcing he's going to resume in-person campaigning. So Donald Trump has smoked Joe Biden out of the basement.
Yep.
And get your popcorn ready, because here we go with more the gaffes and misstatements, and we're probably going to have a dementia moment or two.
Well,
it's really I got to say, it's really sad that this is what they're doing to him after. I can disagree with his his positions over the years, but he's been in government for 50 years, and to use him as this Trojan horse like this, they all should be ashamed of themselves.
But they're not.
There's no way for his career to end,
because it's all about power. And also, I've noticed now, they're doing it with Harris too, with Kamala, whatever you want. Anyway, she's not taking questions, and I think she's not taking them, so then Biden doesn't have to take them. They can both say neither is taking questions, because they don't want him to take questions.
Or they're doing like the ABC interview, where they're doing a joint appearance so that she can sort of fill in the gaps.
Then she can take the questions when they're together. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I think that the voters, the American public, are seeing through trying to do this.
Well, did you see? I believe that after the RNC, I saw poll numbers that African Americans supporting Trump went from 13 to like 24%. It rocketed after that.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you,
if he's over 20%, this race is over.
Well, I'll tell you, the best thing I think for Trump was Kimberly Klasick, the young woman who's running for a congressional seat in Baltimore. Her online ad, if you haven't seen it, I think it's KLACISK.
Yep.
People need to watch this. It is devastating to Democrats. Her showing the blight and the numbers of just how bad it is in Baltimore, a Democrat-run city for over half a century. And,
right.
I mean, I don't understand how people don't think there's enough people don't believe there's something to that, when a lot of the worst cities are, and I mean, there are good Democrats, certainly there are, but in these cities, I don't know if it's arrogance or what has happened that they have such problems. In Chicago, the tally again, ridiculous number of shootings and deaths over the weekend. The media there does do an update every week. They have a tally going of how many people are shot and killed. And over in Kenosha, the Kenosha mayor, he's a Democrat, I assume, right? I assume that because he has told Trump he doesn't want him to visit. So let's hit that item.
Well, as the governor, Evers has asked the president not to visit, which is ridiculous, right? I mean, this is what a president does. That's why he's down in Louisiana last weekend, looking at hurricane damage. Presidents go and inspect when issues like this happen. So I don't know why they think that it's somehow not okay for Donald Trump to go there. Pivoting for a second, speaking of the Democrat mayors, we should mention the six Democrat mayors in Minnesota up in the Iron Range that endorsed Donald Trump last week, which is huge.
Well, it is, because I mean, that's obviously has been a Democrat, I don't know, a stronghold, too strong a word, but it has been pretty much a Democratic area, right?
Yeah, but
he's looking out for them.
Well, they're getting frustrated. Someone brought up about Barack Obama put sheriffs on Chinese steel as well, but it's like, that's not the point. I think that what's frustrating a lot of the Rangers is, for years they wanted to have that nickel and copper mine, that Polymet mine, and the Democrats in the Metro have had that thing under perpetual environmental review, and they want jobs up there. And so I think there's a huge clash. There has been a growing clash in the last two decades between the Iron Range and the Minneapolis and St. Paul environmentalists in terms of the Democrat Party. And I think that, you know, the Metro Democrats are winning out, and the Rangers are just going to say, fine, we'll go someplace else. And, you know, and so, you know, he Trump did very well in the Iron Range the last time. And I read an interview with Ken Martin, the DFL chair, said that Trump is absolutely fixated on flipping Minnesota red for the first time since 1972.
Of course,
it's like his trophy. So,
well, we'll see how it plays out. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciated. Attorney Jeff O'Brien, Chestnut Cambrone. If somebody wants to reach you, Jeff, what do they do?
You can reach me on you can call my office, 612-336-1298. You can look me up online, chestnutcambrone.com, or on Twitter at Jeff O'Brien. Pretty much Google me, and you'll find me.
And we talked a lot about politics and sports, but Jeff, one of his specialties, and he has many, is craft breweries and distilleries, where you are the man. You have more than 60 craft breweries and distilleries that you represent. No one knows more about those than you. Safe to say?
You could. Yeah,
oh, stop being modest.
It's a reasonable statement.
Stop being modest. All right, Jeff, we're going to take a quick break. Come right back with another attorney and Uber fan, Dave Bialki from Bialki Law. Be right back.